There's a few little tables where maybe I can stack them. Otherwise, if this is okay.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's okay. It's fine. Are you sure? Hare Krishna.
Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. our addition. This parking lot right next door is not our parking lot, and there's a Toyota Camry over there, and they're talking about towing it. So if you have a car parked over there, please remove it right away. Thank you so much.
Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 We are going to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, Text 16. Abrahma Bhuvanalloka Punaravartino Arjuna Mammupetya tu Kaunteya Punarjammana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahma Lok, Chandra Lok, and Indra Lok, they fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandogya Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahma Lok. But if on Brahma Lok one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse: Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte pratisanchare prasyante kritatatmanaha pravishyanti parampadam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. Om magyanati mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshirum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So, we are living here in this material world, and we have to know what is this material world all about. Why we are here. And what's going to happen after we die? That's a very important question to us, for any human being. So here, Lord Krishna is saying that wherever you go in this material world, doesn't matter if you go higher planets, no, they're trying to go to Mars now. They get bored from trying to go to the moon. Now it's Mars. But anyway, recently I read one scientific article stating that they found water on Mars. But they were saying that it was very salty, the water, like 10 times more than here, so maybe it was difficult. People live on that kind of water. But one scientist says, why not? Bodies can adapt to any atmosphere if required. Don't have to be body like our bodies, necessarily. So that's open up, no, our mind a little bit, that we sometimes tend to be self-centered. That everything has to be like our planet, same atmosphere, in order to be life anywhere in the universe. But that's very self-centered idea, egocentric idea. God is not going to create all full universe filled with millions of planets. Only one planet has life. People living in it. So here the verse is speaking that there are higher planets and people can live there. Of course, the Vedas are giving us this information. So we are accepting the Vedas as an authority. You either have to accept somebody's authority, either the scientist with his imperfect knowledge trying to reach the universe and understanding it through the telescopes or whatever, and that's also through the imperfect senses. Or you accept some higher authority coming down from God, Krishna, down to us. And either way, you have to accept somebody as an authority. So we chosen to accept rather this authority. And in this knowledge, it is you can get so much information about this universe. Amazing information. For example, it is explained that in the higher planets, people live 10,000 years according to their years. So when 6 months pass on this earth, is 1 day there, 12 hours. 1 year here is 24 hours there. So imagine, they live 10,000 years according to that. So that's like 3,600 and something years. That's a lot. But still, they have to die one day. Okay. And they are afraid to die too. Nobody likes to die. Who wants to die? Who wants to get old? Who wants to get sick? Nobody. But the laws of nature are made in such a way, everyone has to go through this. Doesn't matter if you live a very high planet or lower planet. It may take longer there. And how do they know when death is approaching? They become old, but not like us. They don't get wrinkles and cancer and all those kind of things. They don't get those things. the very natural life, and the mode of goodness. So their body is made mainly from gyan or knowledge. It's material, but higher type of bodies. The Mahabharata explains that they always wear a garland of fresh flowers that never dry. But when this garland starts to dry, they become very anxious because they know, I'm becoming very old, I'm going to die soon. Once the garland starts to dry up. So, and if they haven't cultivated spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, they have to come back to earth again. Once their good actions, their good karma is finished, they have to come back here again. So those who are here, if they do good work, they can be transferred to higher planet. Those who are higher planet, once their good work, the result of their good work is finished, they have to come back here. Of course, in higher planet, there is a possibility that they may continue their cultivation of spiritual life and they may go up and up, up to the kingdom of God, Golok Vrindavan, but that's more difficult, generally speaking. Why? Because there are so much more amenities there, so much facility for material enjoyment. When Srila Prabhupada visited South America, I had the good fortune to meet him that time. And, every morning we would go to walk in the park with him. And one morning he told us about those higher planets. He said there is a higher planet that has a mountain called Sumeru. And the peak of that mountain is made of gold. On the peak of that mountain grows gigantic mango trees. Each mango is the size of an elephant. Imagine. Sometimes reality is higher than, more amazing than fiction. So, and when those ripe mango fall from that, the top of that mountain, they create Jambunada, a mango river. Imagine, a mango river. And when the sun and the air dry both shores of the river, they become transformed into gold. So the denizens of heaven, they come with their viman, their airplanes, with their wives, and they collect this soft gold, and they make necklaces, bracelets, and for free. They don't have to work hard to get the wife some gold bracelet or something. So there are many amenities, many facilities for enjoyment. But still, the Lord said, wherever you go in this world, there is birth and death, therefore suffering. You can't keep it forever. That's the thing. That's the thing. So less intelligent people, they're attracted to this kind of description. Say, oh, let us go there. You know what I have to do. But that's not very intelligent because you're not going to stay forever there. Once your good work, the result of your good actions you perform to be in the mode of goodness, to be elevated to a higher planet in this world, once they're finished, you come down again. And how they usually come down? With the rain. The souls in the rain comes down. And they grow as vegetation. So the human beings eat those vegetables and grains, and they become transformed, you know, the body, with semina, and then the child is born. And this way they... So this is like what you call this... The children, they go to a fair and they play on this, you know. Yeah. Ferris wheel. We got it. Okay, Ferris wheel. It's like playing the Ferris wheel. Sometime you're up, sometime in the middle, sometime low, and then up again and down again. And in that way. So all spirit souls, we are going up and down in this material universe trying to search for real happiness. That's the main thing. Trying to be happy. But in this material world, there's a world of duality. If you want happiness, you have to also get the other side of the coin. If somebody is giving you a coin, 25 cents, you can say, give me the eagle but not the tail. Is it? Tail or head, is it? So head is okay but not tail. No, you want the head, you have to get tail too. So the same way, the duality of this world is like that. There is day and night, there is good and bad, there is happiness and suffering, pleasure and pain. There is a saying, no pain, no gain. But you don't gain nothing from pain. But you, maybe you learned the lesson that I'm looking for happiness in the wrong place. There is a byproducts. Well, what is that? When we take a medicine, there's a side effects. Once a friend of mine was taking a pill and he was, you know, cutting the side. I said, why are you cutting? So, well, to cut off the side effects. That's not the way to do it, for sure. So, anyway, if we want the real happiness without the side effects, then we have to search for the spiritual happiness, for the real thing. And that spiritual happiness is not cheap. It's not cheap. You have to pay the price. And what is the price? Just your sincerity, your desire, your real desire to have it. One may say, okay, I want the spiritual happiness, but I also want the other, you know. No, you can't have both. That's the problem. We want both. The best of both worlds. Is it? Sometimes people have this idea, I can be spiritual and, you know, still drink my beer and go to parties and, you know, and smoke. And that's okay, no problem. Doesn't work that way. If you want the real thing, you have to be willing to pay the price for it. Willingly. And it's something not... so to speak, painful. It is blissful, actually. But because we are spiritually sick, we think, oh, this is botheration. I, you know, to give so many attachments I have. But, and when you can get it, you say, oh, it doesn't. Like, you know, there's a, what is this animal, fox, trying to reach some grapes. Jumping, trying to catch the grapes. And the branch was a little high, so no matter how high, he tried hard, couldn't catch them. Finally, he said, oh, this grape must be sour. You know? Of course, because you can't get them, you say sour. So the material life is like that. You've been promised something, and you're trying to get it. You think you are going to get it, but it's like a monkey. He wants... enter the home to steal food. And he found in a jar grapes. The jar had a small, you know, mouth. So he put his hand inside the jar and grabbed the grapes, but couldn't take his hand out because his hand became bigger. And he wasn't willing to let go of the grapes either. So he was stuck, you know, in the middle of the thing. No way, not the other, you know. So this material life is something like that. You get attached to something, and at the beginning it looks like wonderful, but after some time it just doesn't work anymore. Doesn't give you the same emotion, the same happiness that you thought you had at the beginning. So that's material happiness all about. It looks very nectarian at the beginning, and painful at the end. While the happiness and the mode of goodness at the beginning may be a little troublesome, but end up to be completely blissful. That's in the mode of goodness. So every human being has this ability, this capability to raise up above the material conditioning. We are all conditioned materially by the mind and the senses. Lord Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastra nindriyani prakritishtani karjat. Krishna explained, the souls that are in this material world are part of me and they are eternal. But because they are conditioned by the mind and the senses, they are struggling very hard in this material existence. So the goal of human life is to get out of this struggle for existence and go to the real, eternal, blissful life, full of knowledge and eternity. That's the goal of human life. But when somebody tries to do that, sometimes he gets criticized by his friend or family member. You're trying to escape. Is it escapist? Like, imagine, no? Some people in jail, they are in hard labor breaking stones, and some people who are free outside, they are looking at them. And the prisoner is inside. It's, you lazy guys, come here and help us break those stones. What a nonsense proposal. The goal is to get out of there, not to be engaged there, breaking stones. Understand? So this material life is not the real life. It's a temporary life and full of troubles. But it's a life of preparation. You can use your life for something better, something higher. And that's very good. I mean, it's a great gift to have a human body, because through this human body you can understand God, we can understand the soul, we can understand what is this world all about, where is real happiness. It's very important, very valuable, this human body. But if it's misused just to get some temporary flickering happiness, pleasure, then we are wasting our time. We're wasting our time on something that is going to end anyway, sooner or later. So that's why people are frustrated and full of stress and anxiety, because they want to keep something they can't keep forever. That's the truth. So to get relief from all the stresses and anxieties and to have peaceful mind and happiness, one has to take shelter in a spiritual life and higher knowledge. That's very important. That's very important. So, but or you know, our friends, family may tell us, no, that's very troublesome. Don't take the trouble, you know. Take it easy, you know. You are what you are. Don't try, you know, to be something else, you know. Isn't it? Yeah, it's true. I will tell you one story that is related to that idea. Once a chicken found an eagle egg. And she sat on the egg, you know, naturally. And after some time, a small eagle was born. So the eagle saw the chicken, thought, oh, this must be my mother. So he was following the chicken, wherever it was going, and imitating whatever she was doing, the small eagle was doing. And after some time, the small eagle saw huge eagle flying up in the sky. And he asked his mother chicken, Mother, what is this big bird flying so beautifully? Oh, that's an eagle. But don't forget, you're a chicken. Don't even try it. You don't even think about it. You're a chicken. You're So this is the way material life is about, you know, when you try to do to discourage you from your spiritual pursuit. So many things and people and all our surroundings is to motivate you only for material life, not to look for a spiritual life. But anyway, the story doesn't end up there. That big eagle flying there with his good vision, he could see the small eagle down there. And he felt sympathy with him, because he saw him with the chicken and doing the same thing. So he came down and he took a chance when the small eagle was alone, called him, come here. You are not a chicken. What are you doing with all those chickens? Come with me, you are an eagle like me. I'm going to teach you how to fly. That's the guru, you know, guru rescuing the soul. And do you know how eagles teach their offspring how to fly? I saw it in National Geographic. Usually eagles, they put their nest up on the mountain high. So what the eagles do, they push them out of the nest. Fly or die. But since they are born with this capability to fly, the parents know he's going to fly, but need a little pushing. In the same way, we need a little pushing in our spiritual life. We are born with this capability to experience something better, something higher. But we are being told, no, you're a chicken, don't try it. So we have to look for the big eagle who can teach us the real thing. How to fly high back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. I read very interesting information in the Vedas about higher planets in the material world. There is one planet that the eagles are so huge, so big, they can fly from one planet to another planet. And while flying, sometime they put an egg in space and the egg broke and the small eagle come behind the mother flying also. Imagine, they eat elephants. That's their food. So many amazing things are there in the universe. May seem like, oh, you know, science fiction. But sometimes real things may be more amazing than fiction. And they are real. How to prove it? We can't prove it with our present senses. But if we accept some higher information, one reporter asked Prabhupada, do you believe in extraterrestrial? Prabhupada said, yes, we are all extraterrestrial. We all belong to the spiritual world. That's our real home. So we have to go to our real home, eternal home. I mean, we have to understand. Yesterday I went to a program in Tijuana, and the subject of the speech was spiritual solutions for material problems. And I told the audience, what are the real problems in life? Economy, security, so many, no? But what are the real problems? The real problems are four. Jamma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Birth, death, old age, and disease. That's our real problems. No? You get old, you get sick, you can't be happy. You can't be peaceful. You work all your life to get some security, and then you spend all the money in doctors and medicines and hospitals. And you work all your life, you know, just to survive. And for how long? I read one newspaper article saying that this cowboy that doing the Marlboro ad, he was dying in a hospital in New York, surrounded by his wife and two kids. And he was telling his wife, look what happened to me, please don't allow my kid to smoke like me. He was smoking 1-2 packs every day, and he ended up with cancer. So this is life. It looks at the beginning wonderful, joyful, but end up in suffering. So this is not pessimistic, this is reality. It's a reality. We are very optimistic about spiritual life. but not so optimistic about the material life, because we see with our own eyes, we end up in suffering. So we want some alternative, something better. That you don't have to die to experience it, you can experience it here, right now. When we practice the process of bhakti yoga, here that all kinds of yogis, if they want to achieve the supreme abode of the kingdom of God, they have to finally practice bhakti yoga to reach there. Because bhakti yoga awakens the soul to its true nature. And what is the true nature of the soul? We see everybody in this world is serving something or somebody. Isn't it? That's the nature of every living being, to serve. Although we think I'm serving myself or I'm serving my family. But everybody's serving also the senses. Somebody I'm saying, I'm a millionaire, I don't have to work. But my friend Shankar was telling me, you know, a man, a millionaire, but it's always an anxiety thinking how I have to make more money. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. I have 2 million now, I have to work hard to get 4. When I have 4, I have to get 8. And what for? When you die, you're not going to get it. But you have to leave it here. So that's the reality. Too much greed, too much unsatisfaction. Only because we forgot that we are spirit souls, we are eternal. We are part of the Supreme Lord. And by nature, we are eternally happy, blissful, and knowledgeable. But because of the covering of the ignorance, Maya, we forget our true nature. It's like somebody had a car accident and suffering amnesia. And walking on the street without money, wallets, he lost everything. And he's begging homeless in the street, even to eat. And after a few days, one of his father's friends see him. Oh, what are you doing here in the street? I don't know who I am. Oh, I know who you are. I know your father. Come, you don't have to be like suffering like this. Your father is well to do. He can take care of you. But I can't take you like this. Come to my home, take a shower, change dress and eat something. Then I take you there. No? So the same way, the guru, he comes and rescues us. No? What are you doing suffering here? Your father is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. He has all wealth, all beauty, knowledge, power, fame, everything you want, he can give it to you. So that's the dilemma of the materialist. All the things they want, enjoyment, wealth, beauty, fame, everything, the only person who can really give them all these things is God, Krishna. But they don't want to accept him. That's his misfortune. That their misfortune. So the guru said, okay, I will take you, but I can't take you like this dirty, you know. You have to get clean first. So that's the process of bhakti yoga. Cleansing the heart, cleansing the mind. The mind has 6 enemies, material enemies. Lust, greed, anger, envy, fear, and?
Ego.
Yeah, the ego is there. No, ego is not part of the mind. Ego is... There are 3 things in subtle body. Mind, ego, intelligence. 3 things. Fear is very prominent. Everybody is afraid. What is going to happen tomorrow? If North Korea attack us, send the atomic bomb, you know. Who knows? Everybody has anxiety, you know. Now they're talking to China for help. So there's always some anxiety in this world, always some problem, all the time, all the time. Once a devotee came to, you know, greet me, so I asked him, how are you doing? He said, well, here I am struggling in this material world. And I asked him, are you struggling to stay or to get out? You have to struggle either way. But it's more glorious to struggle to get out of material designations. But the beauty of there is, you can become, you know, everybody can be a material hero or a spiritual hero. A material hero tries to, you know, the advancement of material society by his intelligence, money, whatever, power. But he's conquered by his senses and mind, by his attachment, desire. A spiritual hero is capable of conquering himself. With the higher self controlling the lower self of the body and mind. And this is easily achieved in this age. You don't have to go to caves and Himalayas to meditate to get there. You can do it here in San Diego. You just have to practice Bhakti Yoga, which starts by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you practice this chanting and try sincerely to ask for shelter, you know, we have a body as it needs, we don't deny. Everybody needs to sleep, to eat, to have a partner, have a home, have a job, to earn money, whatever, to defend yourself. But if we are not the body, we are the soul, then what are the needs of the soul? Nobody asks those questions. The soul has three needs. Spiritual food, spiritual shelter, and spiritual happiness, spiritual enjoyment. And we are denying our soul those three things. And that's why we are not peaceful, happy. So the spiritual food is not only, of course, we give spiritual food every Sunday feast, the prasad, but also to hear about Krishna consciousness is also food for the soul. And the shelter, when we chant like a helpless child, crying for mother, chanting the holy name with that mood of seeking shelter, and relief, then we get the shelter, spiritual shelter, in the holy name of Krishna. And the happiness when we try to please the Lord by our sincere effort, then He shares happiness with us. He's Ananda Mayobhyasa. The Vedanta Sutra said that He's the fountain of all happiness, all bliss, and He's more than willing to share it with us. If we make one step toward Krishna, He will make 10 steps toward us. He's more eager than us to see us really happy. But He's not going to force anybody. It has to be, you have to exercise your free will. And to do that, to get, sometimes devotee ask me, well, how can I get this enthusiasm? How can I get this desire? Search those who have it. Try to get it from them. If in a very hot day you go to a waterfall and the wind is blowing, sprinkle your face with this drop of fresh water and you get refreshed. In the same way, when you associate with people who are spiritually elevated, spiritually inclined, you get that relief. You get that enthusiasm to do the same thing. You know the saying, birds of the same feather flocks together. Anyway, I'm going to stop here and to ask you if you have any doubt or comment, question, please do. We can have a little conversation too. Yes? Yes.
Where does our planet lie?
We are in the middle. We are in the middle. There are 14 planetary systems, and we are in the middle of it. 14 altogether, yes. Yes.
Thank you, Swamiji. How could we use old age and disease for whatever we need to do to get more advancement?
Very good question. What to do with those things? Well, a very simple thing. Old age and disease is telling us you are nearing death. What are you going to do about it? Get into panic and, you know, try to drink all the beer you can, or, you know, go all the movies you can see. And sometimes people get panic like that and they want, you know, to enjoy the most they can until the last minute, you know, of their lives. You know. But that's madness, that madness. It's like you're living in a rented apartment and the owner tells you, I'm not going to renew the contract, you have only 3 months to leave the apartment. What you will do? You will start repainting the apartment, redecorating everything, bringing new furniture. Your friend will think you got mad. Oh, we have a very short time here. We have to get prepared to go somewhere else, a better place. So when old age comes, disease comes, it's a time for preparation. Don't wait until then. You can start from now. But you can intensify more your spiritual life when you see these things nearing, coming, approaching. Then take more shelter. The material world is the enemy side, and Krishna is the friendly side. When there is problems on the enemy side, you take shelter in the friendly side. That's a simple thing. I hope that answers your question.
The other question I have is fear.
Yes.
One of the spiritual blessings is that you are financially okay, or there's a little bit of steadiness in your life, so you can practice spiritual.
Yeah, you must have whatever you need to have to live. Well, then you surrender more to Krishna. What else can you do? You're going to not start a new job at the age of 65. Meaning, some or other, you do all that before that. Huh? Get yourself together. And if that doesn't happen, then it's the karma. Devotees, they see everything as the Lord's mercy. Why? Because when problems are there, they think, oh, because of my past misdeed, I deserve to have even more problems. But the Lord is so kind to me, since I'm trying to be His servant, He's diminishing what I actually deserve. So that's the mood. In a prayerful mood, take more shelter. Depend on the Lord's mercy. If we don't do it willingly, at the time of death, unwillingly, we have to give up everything. So either way, we have to surrender. Willingly or unwillingly. So better do it alive, willingly. You don't have to give up anything. You have to give up just the false pretense that we are the enjoyer and owner and proprietor of everything and controllers over everything material. That's the illusion. That's the ignorance. Surrender means we acknowledge Krishna is the supreme proprietor, he's the supreme enjoyer. I'm only his servant. If he's happy with me, he will make me very much happy. If you stand in front of a mirror and put a necklace on you, the mirror also has a necklace. Same way, if we try to please the Lord, automatically we are pleased. That's natural too. Why you feel?
More fear.
More fear because they're afraid. You get the fear from them. They influence you with their fear. But if you have to associate people who are fearless, because they have full confidence, full faith in Krishna. Once a reporter asked Prabhupada, Master, what you will do if you see a bomb coming up on you? And Prabhupada said, well, it is Krishna coming to take me with him. Fearless, fearless. Krishna's coming to take me. Let's see if anybody else have a question around here. All right. Yes? Yes, one last question. We have to understand something very clearly. When you say heaven, for majority of people, heaven means the spiritual kingdom of God. From the Vedic perspective, Bhagavad Gita, heaven means material heavenly planet. There's a difference. The material higher planets, like we explained already, are temporary. Life is not eternal there either. Yeah, instead of wasting our time trying to go to higher planets, either mechanically or by yoga, whatever, better try to practice bhakti yoga and go back to the kingdom of God, and from there is never return. One-way ticket. That's the highest adventure that human being can make. One-way ticket to the spiritual world. No return. That solves all problems of life, once and for all. Yes, yes, definitely. Krishna is saying this. Saying you can do it, yes. Like the big eagle telling, yes, you can fly, come. We all need a little pushing, that's all. Everybody can do it because we are a spirit soul. We have the potential to do it. We just need a little pushing, that's it. Yes, if we follow his advice and instruction, definitely yes. All right, we are going to finish now here because it's the time for our kirtan. Unless somebody else has a question, you ended up your quota of questions for today, for the class at least.
So two-way ticket is expensive.
Huh?
Two-way ticket is expensive always, so one-way ticket should be
cheaper. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. Why you want to return to such a place? Imagine you've been in jail suffering for 25 years. Once you get out, you don't want to return. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.